The word today is prosper. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Most cultures place a high value on wealth, but God's ideas on wealth are quite different from the world's. So, does God want you to be wealthy? Here with what may be a surprising answer is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Prosper.
There are many types of theology that are surfacing all over the world. You know, the more divergent we become here in America with all the different religious groups that are migrating to America and coming into our borders, there are mosques, of course, there are temples, there are all types of things now built on the streets of the cities of our country. And those of you that are listening to me in India and China and Africa and all over the world, we are now broadcasting in different countries in their language, and I praise God for that. Many people are coming to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I suppose it may seem like a surprise to you to hear that there are many false gospels. One of the things that is very confusing to people is that you have many cults that claim to be Christian. They will call themselves Christian. Sometimes they even have the word Christian in their names, like Christian Science, and they will have teachings that they say are proof that they are true Christians. And yet, the way to verify if it's a false religion or a true one is to simply ask, who do you believe Jesus Christ is? Now, if a person takes, you know, several minutes and stutters around and says, well, he's just a wonderful guy, he's one of the best prophets, we think we can learn a lot from him, and we think he is God's son. You know, sometimes they'll use that terminology. Jehovah's Witnesses use that terminology, for instance, and they will say, they mean by that that he's like a really high up angel, one of the best angels. He's a messenger of God. You know, the more they talk like that, the more you realize they're denying his deity. The simple question is Jesus Christ true God? And if the answer to that is no, then they are not Christian. Regardless of whatever else they say, whatever else they teach about angels or anything else is immaterial, because if they deny that Jesus Christ is true God, they are not Christian. Now, therefore, the leading evidence is that a Christian believes Jesus Christ, the third person of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the second person, I meant to say, of the Holy Trinity, the Son, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, is true God. He is our Savior. He came to earth to suffer and die in our place, and through his crucifixion on the cross, he paid the penalty for our sins. And through his resurrection, we have the proof that God the Father in heaven accepted that payment, and now regards us as having been washed in the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, and forgiven. And therefore, we are heirs, H-E-I-R-S, heirs inheriting eternal life. Now, that's the true gospel, and it's the only true gospel. The bottom line is, however, there are many false gospels that are being preached everywhere around the world, right here in America also. And one of these is called prosperity gospel. You know, quite frankly, it annoys me to no end to see these preachers get on the television or on the radio and say, God wants you to be rich. Well, first of all, how do they know that? First of all, that's not biblical, is not what the Bible teaches. Certainly, God wants us to be blessed. And they will take verses. Let me give you an example of one of the verses they often use. It's from the Old Testament. It's in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, well, take a look at verse 17, verse 18. You know, that section, let me just read it to you in case you don't have a Bible handy right now. Verse 17, otherwise you may say in your heart, My power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. Verse 18, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. For one thing, the point of this text within its context is that God wants you to be wealthy in the terms of his covenant. The word prosper, by the way, is not found in the New Testament. Did you know that? The technical biblical word prosper is an Old Testament word, and the only place it's found is in the Old Testament. And it almost always, just like in this case in Deuteronomy, refers to the covenant, God wants you to be wealthy in terms of the covenant. He wants you to have a relationship with him that is very good, very rich, very full of meaning. Now, if you want to work in the idea of wealth, and you're talking about money and possessions there, you can add that in. It certainly can be a part of this context, but it's not the major part. The major part is the covenant. The major part is that God says, you are my people, and the people say, you are our God. Now, if you want to go beyond that and start talking about prosperity, you're going to have to take in all kinds of other verses. You know, look at Luke 6, verse 38. You know, you can look at so many verses that make it sound, if you lift it out of the context, that God is just waiting to make everybody rich. Well, first of all, if you know anything about the Christian church, you know that everybody in the Christian church is not rich. That ought to be rather clear. So it must mean something else. You can take a look at John 10, verse 10. You know, you can look all the way through the scriptures here, and you will find, if you just look at those verses, things that seem to be somewhat contradictory. Now, one of my favorite verses, I believe, is very clear that God wants us to experience his love. He challenges us in Malachi 3, verse 10. He says, test me and see whether I will bless you. I would love to open the windows of heaven, God says, and pour down blessings upon you, but you're not letting me do that because you're not faithful in your giving to me. You are not bringing to me a faithful, meaningful gift. Instead, you're robbing from me by keeping what rightly belongs to me for yourself and spending it on yourself instead of giving it for kingdom work. So take a look at that chapter 3 in Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. So there's all kinds of things. I suppose once you begin to define these words, you should talk about what wealth is. You know, in something that was just put out in a Market Watch report, we're told what wealth is here in America. Let me give you an example. The jet set. Now, they interviewed quite a few private jet owners, and they found out that the average annual income of someone who owns a jet plane is $9.2 million. Now, that's quite a bit, $9.2 million, and that their net worth of the jet setters is $89.3 million on average. They are basically 57 years old. 70% of them are men. You know, two-thirds of them are in the United States. The main thing they do is travel around for experiences. They like photographic safaris. They like hikes to Machu Picchu. They like eco for the economy and the green. You know, they want to keep everything green and nice, and they're very fussy about things like that. The jet setters spend, now get this, an average of $98,000 per year for these types of tours. They're constantly taking these types of tours. They spend $224,000 on average a year for events at hotels, where they go to listen to speakers and they go to hear ceremonies and they get awards and all this and that. The average jet setter spends $107,000 a year in spas. you know, to get your face primped up and everything. They call themselves global citizens. They love that. They love that. You see, they want to be citizens everywhere. They're just helping everywhere. You know, they're doing their own thing. Do you know that 33% of them don't even pay their own bills? They don't even do their own check writing. They hire people to do all that for them. Well, and the biggest expense that they have is buying art. I think of Steve Wynn, for instance, down in Las Vegas and others like that. They have complete art galleries that they own. They spend $1.75 million a year on buying art. Well, let's go to the other extreme. I have a little a blurb here from Capitalism Magazine. They did a study of the poor. You know, I'm running out of time on this broadcast to do all this. I wonder if I'm going to get it done. They say 46% of the poor households in America, that means below the poverty level, actually own their own homes. 76% have air conditioning. A typical poor family in America has more living space than the average non-poor individual in Paris, London, Vienna, Athens. They did a complete study of this. Nearly 75% of all poor households own one car. Now, you know, we could go on and on here, and the study showed that while people might come to America poor, there still is a chance for them, if they're diligent and work and honest, to really come up into the middle class and so on. There's a lot of these people that have cell phones and other TVs and so on. I guess the main point is, God hasn't promised you wealth just because you're a follower of Him. He may choose to give you wealth, and if He does, may you be thankful to Him and use it to His glory. God wants you to use it for the spread of the Word of God around the world. He wants to bless you. He wants you to put your trust in Him, not in your wealth, not in your possessions. Don't make those things false gods. Serve Him as a true God. Be diligent, be fervent, be honest, be sincere. Chances are you'll do well, and chances are God will choose to bless you. Trust in Him day by day by day. It's not a way to get wealthy, it's a way to serve Him and have eternal life in heaven.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.